Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Claire. Good morning.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about trying to maintain some balance in your life while being as eco-friendly as you can. So what do we mean by that?
To me, that means doing the best you can while still not disrupting your daily habits and the way you go about your daily life so much that it just creates this sort of overwhelming sense of like, oh, I have to change everything. Because when I first started to be more aware of my impact and my ego, having a healthy ego mindset, I felt very overwhelmed. And sometimes, and for me, it can create this sort of pendulum swing back the opposite direction than you want to go. You want to be more eco-friendly and environmentally friendly and create better habits. But if you try, and a lot of people try too much at once, and it just shifts back the total opposite direction, and then you kind of quit everything, and it's not good for anybody.
No, and I'm sort of there at the moment because I'm trying to start a business while working, and my husband works full time. So we end up kind of, especially our food really suffers with caving to convenience because we're just kind of busy all the time and we do our best, but it doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes I just have to forgive myself for that.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same. Especially during COVID, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, but me and my roommate would order out a lot because we didn't feel necessarily comfortable going out to a lot of restaurants with crowds of people. And even when we went to places, if you have like leftovers, or if you just want to pick up a cup of coffee, you weren't able to bring in like reusable containers for a lot of places. And so it was very, you know, you had to kind of say, you know, it's okay. It's okay that we're doing this, because if we just sat here and didn't order anything or didn't eat, or it's just not good for anybody. So you have to be able to forgive yourself for some things.
And it can be hard. But I think the best way to go about that is really just doing baby steps and maybe trying to focus on the area of your life that has the largest impact, just one step at a time.
Exactly.
I know, like, for me, a step that made a huge difference was getting a bicycle. And so then I was using the car so much less.
Exactly.
And I was able to like get studded tires for my bicycle, so I'm able to ride all winter, which even with that, I mean, sometimes your distance ends up shortening in the winter because of how much you can handle. But just picking something that will make a big impact, and just one thing at a time, and then do that for a little while, and then moving on to something else, that is often the best way to try to remove that pendulum swing, if you can just do like little baby steps, because that's going to happen. You're going to swing backwards and you're going to be like, screw it. Or yeah, you're going to go nuts and you're going to do everything. And when you do that and you don't do the research and you don't take the time, sometimes you end up buying a bunch of stuff because it's more eco-friendly, but then you don't use half of it, or you really didn't need to buy those things because you already had something, even if it was, like, if you were trying to make a swap from plastic to wood of something, but you already had the plastic thing. It's actually the more eco-friendly option to just use what you have. And so People can get a little excited and go a little nuts if they don't just kind of tone it down, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I started to go zero waste probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And when I had started, I threw myself into everything, and I, you know, had my little jar, and I was like, okay, everything has to fit into this jar and I can't stray from that. And I had my little jar, and I was trying to focus on the food aspect because I felt like I was creating a lot of waste and using a lot of plastic when going to the grocery store and buying food and things like that. So I started buying all my dry ingredients from places like Bulk Barn. But yeah, like I say, at the time, I was not very good at cooking. I didn't really know how to make things, make a lot of meals and make a lot of things from scratch, or from the ingredients that I could get at places like Bulk Barn and reusable stores like that. So right. I think that's kind of a key thing to recognize is when you're starting whatever aspect of your life you're trying to tackle, whether it's like food like me, or if it's biking or like transportation or I don't know, endless amounts of things, but you just kind of have to realize what you can integrate into your life already, because it creates for me, it created such a disruption into my daily routine. And I felt like at times I didn't know what to do. So I would buy all these ingredients and I wouldn't know what meals to make with them or how, and it would take me extra long to figure out what I was going to make or how I was going to do things, that it stifled me, because then I would be stuck with all these things that I didn't know what to do with. And then, but I didn't want to switch back to buying things from the grocery store. So I was just kind of sitting there with all these things that I didn't know what to do. And I just threw myself in too fast. The pendulum did swing all the way back to where I just kind of left zero waste lifestyle behind, and I didn't do it for a long time.
It's too hard. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And I imagine maybe like food doesn't last forever. So if you do that and then you're like, I don't know what to do with all this food, and then it goes bad because you couldn't use it fast enough, well, then you've just wasted more food, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good thing. Or I feel like people should, like you say, just choose one thing at a time. And we mentioned earlier, doing research is a really key component. And I think part of that, me doing that, was research. You know, now I know the do's and don'ts of, or some do's and don'ts of zero waste. And that I count as a very valuable experience, even if I didn't continue on that journey at that time.
There's lessons in everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are you zero waste, or you live a zero waste kind of lifestyle? Well, right now?
I mean, I definitely wouldn't call it zero waste, but then I live with other humans. My husband is a man of comfort and he likes it when things are easy.
Yes.
So, and I have to, I have to realize that I'm not the only person who lives here, and I guarantee you I would live very differently if I lived by myself. And he's very accommodating. For example, the other day we had to drive to Calgary. And so that's a fairly long drive. So we had some road food and we stopped to get gas. And he's like, okay, like, just give me all the garbage so that I can throw it out. I want to keep the car clean. And I'm like, but this is paper and this is paper. And really, we only have like one tiny little piece of actual garbage here. The rest of it can be recycled or composted. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So he's very accommodating, but it's like not where his mind goes, right? He's just like, get it out of the car. I want my car clean.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. I would not say that we are zero waste. I would say that like our food, I was going to use this as my little eco challenge at the end of the episode, but I'll get into it a little bit here, is that like, he travels a lot throughout Alberta for work. So he can use up to $70 per day for food, which he gets at a grocery store versus going out to restaurants, because then he can bring some home and then it saves us on groceries. However, so that is great. Budget-wise, that is very good for us. But there are limitations to how he can use this money. He can't buy things he couldn't cook in a hotel room, because the idea is that he's using it while he's out. So he can't get fresh fruits and vegetables and, well, he can get like fresh fruit, like apples, because he can eat that. But like, he can't get things that he has to cook. So he can't get, so anyway, so a lot of the stuff he gets ends up being like prepackaged and
Or like microwavable.
So it's like this struggle where it's like, well, do I take advantage of this financial situation? Or do I? Yeah. So no, Do we use a lot less garbage than the average person? 100%. 100% yeah. We do. Yes. Because what we do is we have like a handful of standard meals and we always get the same things that we make. So we don't waste food because we're always using those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're used to it.
And we're used to it. So it's fast because we know what we're doing and we are comfortable with those things. And so then, and a lot of people would say, oh, that's so boring, right? Yeah. But we hate cooking. So it's like, just make our life easier, right? In a way to keep the food waste down, the packaging down. Like we've kind of got this system for those key ingredients and those handful of meals. So mm-hmm. in that way, we end up using a lot less waste. And I do get a lot of our fresh vegetables and stuff I get either from Spud. Like, this is my convenience thing. I'm like, I can't always make it to a farmer's market. So I order through Spud and select local, please. And they just get it as close as possible. And then I get stuff from farmer's markets. And so trying to reduce that in food, I think that getting your food as local as possible is better as far as impact rather than trying to avoid the packaging.
Yes.
Because if you go to a farmer's market, you often get like lettuces in a bag, right? Like we try to get the loose stuff for peppers and tomatoes and those things. But some things come in bags like carrots and lettuce and kale. And so I would rather get something from within 100 kilometers than go buy something that was made in Mexico, but I don't have a bag with it because I know that along the way, somebody used a bag somewhere, I'm sure. It doesn't matter. So yeah, that's their priorities and how I feel like I'm making the largest impact and it works for me in my lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like, honestly, the best kind of way to go about it. And it's about sustainability. It's about being able to sustain a healthy balance. And so if you're able to make those like five meals or whatever amount of meals, and you know how much exactly you need so that you're not wasting anything, mm-hmm. and you can just continue that and maintain that. Cause that's the whole, I feel like that's a huge part of it, is just being able to maintain it for a long amount of time and just integrate it totally into your lifestyle, which I struggle at sometimes.
And like with his job, he travels for work. Like he needs a car.
Yeah.
He cannot do his job without one. Mm-hmm. But we still maintain a one car household, even though he's gone half the time. Because I just try to coordinate the things that I actually would need a car for when he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not here a lot of the time, it really encourages me to hop on the bicycle because, well, I don't have a car, so I kind of have to do something.
Yeah.
The car share programs have been a great help with that, though, because if I absolutely do need something, I'm not stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We live downtown, which we did intentionally. We intentionally picked a location where we would be within easy walking, biking distance to everything we needed to do as far as like our daily life.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So like we make a lot of those choices, but they don't always necessarily mean zero waste. Our vision's broader than just the garbage, I guess.
No, totally. And I've been the same as you, where I try to be in my car as least as possible. I live across the river in Bonny Doon area, so it's easy enough to get to places, but it's definitely not on the train. Like I'm hoping we have a train going right by our house soon, but I'm hoping we'll open up soon. Very excited.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. But public transportation is huge. Like I think more people should use it, and it should be more affordable. It should definitely be more affordable for people, because that would be, you know, if people aren't comfortable biking, or if you can bike, you should bike. But public transportation is huge, and it would alter Edmonton's kind of like landscape and a lot.
Public transportation is this, it's a balancing act in and of itself, in that if people don't use it, they can't create more routes. And if they don't create more routes, people don't want to use it because it's inconvenient. So it's like, if you want the transit system to get better, use it as much as you can the way it is, because they will improve it because they're getting the funding, they're getting the they're seeing that it's getting used. If people aren't happy with the system and how it's set up, well, it's only going to get better if you use it. And so you can't, like, I refuse to use public transit because the transit system sucks. Well, it's not going to get better if you don't use it. So,
And it's hard because it's a lot less affordable than a lot of other cities. But you're right, it is. It's because people don't use it enough. And there has to be, it's like either you use it and then hopefully enough people use it that they can lower the rate and it eventually, and it becomes more affordable for more people, but that just takes so long and people don't see, people don't see the longevity and the long-term effects of things. People are so here and now, it's including me.
Which I think also goes back to that, like, little bit at a time, right? Because everyone's like, well, I have to do everything right now. Well, no, like if you're going to make these changes slowly over the next 3 years and be more successful at it, then isn't that better than doing it all now and then just giving up in 6 months because it's too hard?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think really the important thing is to just do.
Yeah.
Right? As long as you're, I mean, nothing changes if nothing changes, but you don't have to change everything all at once.
And even if you fail, even if you find that something doesn't work, I still go back to my earlier statement that it's still a valuable experience. It's still, you're still teaching yourself about habits that could be changed. You're still teaching yourself about alternatives. You're still learning more about what can be changed and what maybe other people could change, even if you weren't able to. And so I think that it's valuable, even if you're trying different things and you think back to yourself like, oh, why did I do that? That was so like unsustainable and that didn't work for me. Why did I do that? Well, it was valuable because you learned that, you know, oh, maybe I can do this instead. And it just teaches you more.
And if you go back and listen to our Zero Waste Fails episodes.
Yeah, I was listening just last night.
They're a lot of fun. And you realize that like sometimes what you think is the right thing in the moment, you look back and you're like, what the heck was I thinking? And that's okay. But you know what? Sometimes those stories help other people too.
Yeah.
And if everybody can sort of like get a couple other people on board with one or two things, you know, that starts to spread. And
yeah, exactly. I was thinking back, I think it was the Zero Waste Fails Part 4 I was listening to. And I was thinking back, I purchased one of the safety razors and it does work for a lot of people, but for me it totally didn't. I didn't get the hang of it. It was they're very sharp to me, and I cut myself a lot using it when I first started using it.
Me too. I learned that there is a specific angle
and
they don't have pivoting heads, so you have to be the angle.
Yeah, you have to be a lot more careful than you are with like a drugstore razor or like a different type of razor. But that was one of the items that I felt I couldn't sustain. And then eventually I don't use razors that much anymore. So it didn't seem that was like a very integral thing for me to keep going with.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a step that a lot of people skip over when they're trying to find a more sustainable option for what they have, is just going without.
Yeah.
Like, if you were like, oh, my razor is so wasteful. Okay, well, you could find a more sustainable razor, but do you really need a razor?
Exactly.
Maybe try that. Or even just reducing the amount that you, right? Because I love my safety razor. Now, like,
that's great.
We had a bit of a love-hate relationship at the beginning, but once I kind of got the hang of, like, how to hold it, because it's not the same. It's not the same as the typical Schick and Gillette razors, right? It's not the same. I did recently discover Bulldog razors, which they're the same style as, like, the Schick and Gillette, but they're sustainable. I'm using air quotes here. They're definitely going to be better. Right. Definitely better than the other ones. But there is still plastic.
Yeah.
Their website has a better explanation of their process and what they do. I got one because my because my safety razor blade got taken away from me while I was at the airport, which, you know, makes sense. You can't take the blades with you. And then when I got there, I went to go and buy new blades, and I don't know the town I was in, so I just went to a pharmacy, and they had some, but they cost as much as a new, like a 5-pack of blades costs as much as getting a new razor.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to bring these back with me anyway, so let's try this Bulldog one that I've kind of had my eye on for a while and see how it goes. And so now my husband can use that one because he won't use my safety razor. So now we don't have to get the plastic, right? Like, we can get at least something a little better.
Yeah. And is it easier to use, or is it more, you still have to have the specific angle with it?
No. It's just like your typical other style. Okay. Yeah. The handle on this one is wooden, and I think there's less plastic in the head. Plus, all of their packaging that it comes in is all formed recycled cardboard or something rather than plastic. Yeah. Anyway, it's definitely better.
Yeah.
I would say the safety razor is a lot better, but if you have a hard time with them or they scare you or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I think that's a better option anyway. Like, it's a step in the right direction. But again, even if you have a blade, if you shave every day, for example, and so you're replacing one of those every week or two, well, if you only shave once a week, then that same blade could last you months. And so longer, then at least you're throwing out less, right?
Yeah. And I feel like people skip over the fixing of things and repairing of things a lot. People think, oh, I have to get rid of this because it's wasteful and get this new thing that is more eco-friendly. But why not just, you know, use what you have and try to use it till its very last moment. And if it is possible to be repaired, then repair it, because you're just creating more waste if you're just throwing it away.
Yes. I've repaired a lot of my clothes.
Same here.
Yeah. And I tend to wear my clothes until they're nasty, to the point where I'm like, I can't believe I still wear this in public. Maybe it's time. Right?
Yeah.
It's not even just a rip anymore, because usually rips I can fix with a nice visible mending job, some cute little embroidery or something.
Yeah.
But once they start getting see-through and somehow they're brown, even though they're also pink, I don't know.
I have one pair of pants that had I bought them when they had one tiny rip in them that was purposeful, and then now it's just the whole leg. And so I have to come to terms with that.
Yeah, I never really understood the whole buying jeans that are in already ripped.
yeah, it was part of the style at the time, and so I was oh, this looks cute at the time. Now I'm no purpose in it at all.
I remember walking into the store looking for jeans and being like, do you have anything that isn't ripped? Yeah.
But also, when we talk about repairing things, I think a lot of people are also daunted by that task of mending things. They're like, I don't have time for this, or I don't know how to do this. And if you can't, or if you don't have time to repair things, then I think that should teach us that we need to be more aware of, you need to familiarize yourself with tailors and other, businesses, local businesses that are already there.
Tailors are actually not that expensive in some cases.
Yeah. Two of my aunts are, grew up in the 60s and were seamstresses, and they've taught me all that I know. And so they always tell me, the best places to go, or if they can't fix it themselves. And I just think, and they're always telling me things like, one of them went to university for home economics, basically, and learned so many things that I think are kind of lost in throughout the generations of how to repair things, and just these general knowledge of how to keep things good and how to fix this on your own or where to go to or how to do this. And just regular household, you know, appliance kind of reparations or or clothing reparations and things like that. And I think that's just such a lost kind of art and lost teaching throughout the generations, which I think would be great to bring back.
But I mean, in our day and age, you don't have to be an expert at everything either.
No.
But you should realize that there are people who are experts at those things.
Exactly.
And it's, so I had zippers replaced on my jacket pockets and it was like $20. Like that's way cheaper than a new jacket.
Oh yeah, totally.
And like, they looked so good. Like, and I am a sewer. I know how to sew. I could have done it, but they did it better, faster, and cheaper than I would have done.
Yeah.
So,
and then you don't have to throw out a perfectly good jacket.
Yeah, and I love that jacket, so I'm glad that it has zippers on the pockets again. And I've had people who like come to me and they're like, will you replace the zipper in this jacket for me? And I'm like, sure. And then I walk over to the tailor. Because they'll do it cheaper and faster than I like. Yeah. It's just not worth my time, but like at least it's getting fixed. And but if you were to tell them, if you were to say to that person, like, hey, well, sure, I could, but take it to a tailor. It'll be cheaper and better than what I would do. They would be like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why that's such an inconvenience for people, but it seems to be. But I was happy to be like, yeah, okay, and then just go to it. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one I grew up in Sherwood Park, or just outside of Sherwood Park, and there's one in the Sherwood Park Mall that I would go to regularly. And then you get to know your tailor and they kind of know, and you familiarize yourself with people in your community more. And I think, people should know more about, you know, what's available. If you can't fix it, there's somebody out there who can. Mm-hmm. And it should be more well known. And it shouldn't be daunting either. It shouldn't be kind of this insurmountable thing.
Yeah. And I think that there's like, I repair sewing machines for a living. Mm. It's funny because we get people who come in and they're like, well, my husband should be able to fix this. He's an engineer. And I'm kind of like, but is he a sewing machine engineer?
Yeah, kind of specific.
I just feel like people who know what they're doing know what they're doing. And I think it's valuable to embrace those skills in other people and not feel like you have to do everything yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes the responsibility off of yourself as well, because people think it's all on themselves. But, you know, if we work, everybody has these niche skills somewhere. And if we're all working together, it works like a well-oiled machine if used properly. And if everybody is contributing and, you know, aware of all these different services and skills and things like that.
100%. Yeah. And like people might argue that it's too expensive, right? To go get your sewing machine fixed or your clothes tailored or whatever. But it's funny because we get people who come in and they have this machine and we're like, okay, it's $100 to fix your machine. And they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. I'll just buy a new one at $200. I'm like, that's not cheaper.
Yeah. Do you understand that?
Not cheaper. That's not how that works. That's too expensive. So I will spend more on a new machine.
Yeah.
No, that's not how that works.
That is, counterintuitive for sure. Yeah. But it comes back to that like longevity thing where people think it's more expensive, and it may be more expensive, even if it is more expensive to fix something than to buy a new thing at the time. You're just going to buy something. If you're buying something less expensive, chances are it's not as good quality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's going to cost you less over time. And people don't see that. People don't see the immediate effect of that.
And there is value beyond the dollar, right? So I had somebody who came in to the store and got some scissors. They had like six scissors in a pack or something that they were like, can you please sharpen these? And I was like, he realized that these particular scissors were like dollar store scissors or whatever. And I'm like, you realize that it's going to cost you more to sharpen them than to buy new ones. Like, I was just making sure she was aware of the cost that she was about to pay. She's like, yeah, but I just like the earth so much. And I was like,
That's so sweet.
Right? I was like, I will absolutely do this for you. So I wound up just charging her for like two of them because
yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just... Some of these may not have even wound up being sharper by the time I was done with them because of the like the grade of steel that's used in them. But right. I'm like, you know what? I applaud you and I am going yeah. to do you a favor for that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So, you know, like there is value in not buying something new, even if it costs the same. And with things like sewing machines, like if you buy a new one, you have to refamiliarize yourself with its operation.
Yeah, and all the settings and yeah.
And they have personalities. Like you can have the same model number, but they will not necessarily be exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's like, I know my machine. I like my machine. I want to keep my machine going for as long as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's switch over and talk about an eco challenge for you recently.
I think a big thing, and I haven't done a lot of it recently, but trying to switch from using less of my car and trying to use public transportation and my bike a lot more. Mm-hmm. I am a student at UVA, I'm going to be starting in July. So I'm trying to familiarize myself with bus routes and the train routes and being more comfortable on a bike and just using that as a default. I always use my car as a default. And I think that's probably the most recent kind of transition that I'm trying to get more used to. And it's kind of scary because I went to school in Camrose and there's no public, there's no buses there and everybody either walks or drives or bikes. So I'm used to that in a smaller setting, but in a big city, it's a lot different. And mm-hmm. I've used the train for years, but I haven't used the bus as much and still biking on like main roads are a little bit scary for me. But at the end of the day, that's something that I want to get over and get more used to.
I will say that you learn alternate places to take your bike for your regular yeah. routes. And then there's always like that end and beginning where you have to do the transition. You end up on the sidewalk or something because of wherever you're going, like the last block or something might not be ideal, but usually mm-hmm. you can find some main routes that are really good for being on a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll get there.
Yeah. And it's all about, I feel like it's all in good to go back to the, like, it's all a learning experience too, because then you just get more familiar with the city. And even if I drive places, I'm not familiar with the bike routes or walking around the same area.
I have to laugh because I actually recently, I was so familiar with going to this place on my bike. And then I had to bring something with me. So I took the car and I was trying to get there the same way that I take the bike. And I'm like, this isn't working. I can't turn left here. I had to like stop and get the GPS because I was so used to biking and taking these weird like back roads and stuff. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was funny. And I got there. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm used to biking here, so I didn't know how to drive here.
Oh, a little lost.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, my biggest challenge right now is just trying to reduce the amount of food waste that we're going through because we are in this like new stage of life. Like he only just got this job in January, so we're still sort of working out the systems.
The kinks,
yeah. And our garbage level just has gone up quite a bit in the last 6 months. So we're trying to find like things that he can get that will work with our like regular routines that isn't going to just end up with more and more garbage. So that's my biggest challenge at the moment.
I found a kind of related topic, but I started, I got a worm composter.
Oh, yes. From
my friend, and so we have the, like, before the city came and started picking up our compost, we had the worm composter, and I find that that is so, like, it has changed my garbage so much, because they use so much paper. And so even if we like take out or if we order food, there's a lot of like paper bags, and I just use tons of those to feed the worms, and other paper too, like that, just they eat it up, and along with other compost, and then they turn it into more compost that I then use for my garden. So that has been just like a game changer for me.
Yeah. So I did the vermicompost thing too, but I live in an apartment condo because we don't have the green bin compost pickup. So I was trying to find an alternative. So I don't have a yard, and it didn't even occur to me, like, at the end of, so like it takes like 3 months or whatever for the worms to get through their first layer. So I get through my first 3 months and I'm like, this is great. But then I'm like, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
So I wound up giving my worms to a friend of mine who did have a yard, who was quite happy to have a vermicompost system. Yeah. And now I take my compost, I freeze it until I get a collection of it, and then I take it to my friend's green bin and just use someone else's.
It's so hard, like, living in an apartment complex and trying to compost. Like, that for me is just always, I've never lived in an apartment, I've always lived in houses, but it seems very difficult.
Yeah, so I was really excited for the green bins, but I don't even get to use them, but that's okay. Yeah. I have a system, I will acknowledge to all those people who do not get to participate in the green bin that it's really hard to, like, what do you do?
It would be great if, like, apartment complexes had kind of a communal compost and somebody would take it away, but I also understand that that puts a responsibility on somebody to sort of deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody likes to take those things on. But
nope.
I have the same problem at work. Like, we don't have compost at work. Mm-hmm. So I watch all of my coworkers throw their food waste into the garbage every day. And I'm like, I can't take it on, because I don't even, like, if I had the green bin at home, I would totally just put a bin in the store and then take the bin home.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. So I either have to have, either someone else has to volunteer, or the store has to do it. And it's, you know, they're not going to do that. Yeah. So
it's hard. Yeah. My roommate and her mom just moved into a place in Leduc, and they don't have like compost pickup in the city there. And so she has to take it somewhere, and she's doing that. But I just think of all, like, we take it for granted in Edmonton that they now pick it up from most places. But in a lot of cities or a lot of towns, there's whole towns or municipalities that just don't have, people don't even think about it.
Yeah. And that's like half your waste.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
Half the average household's waste is compostable. So it's a huge, huge diversion to be able to have that.
Yeah.
So what is an eco win for you lately?
Eco win. Well, I guess that would be, the worm compost is kind of the biggest win for me. I think I've been better about meal planning, as much as I was talking about ordering out a lot and kind of forgiving myself for that. I think an eco win has been finding a healthier diet and a balanced way of buying food and not creating as much food waste.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot of trial and error. And COVID kind of helped me with that in a way, because I was spending more time at home, so I could try out a lot of recipes and make things more. I have more time at home to make things. And so I got used to that. And now I know what I have time for and to make at home. And I feel like I'm better at that, which I know is a very difficult task for a lot of people. And it was for me for a long time. And I've only just sort of achieved that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My biggest win right now would be that it is finally, you know, sit out on your patio weather. And we don't have patio furniture for this place. And then we just randomly got bestowed some from someone else who had extra or didn't need it anymore. And so we got free used patio furniture. Woo! Don't have to go buy some. Probably would have found it on Kijiji, but it was also free. So, woo!
Yeah. That's also, I I take that for granted all the time because I have a huge family and they're always circulating things. So there's always a constant flow of like hand-me-downs or like hand-me-ups. So I'm always kind of receiving secondhand things. So there's always a flow of that. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case for everybody. But if you can reuse and find things from other people, it's great.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me and chatting about trying to maintain some balance in your life while doing your best.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Yes, thank you for coming. I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning in today and our patrons who support Waste Free Edmonton through Patreon or wastefree.ca. Waste Free Edmonton does a lot of background stuff with events and laws, and that stuff costs money, so we appreciate your support. We appreciate the support of Change Toothpaste as well, who sponsor the podcast and make it free to do, because we're all volunteers here, and so we couldn't do it without them. If you want to get a hold of us here at Becoming Less, you can email us at becominglesspod@gmail.com, or go to Instagram and find us at becominglesspod, or to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday. I haven't hit record. I haven't had coffee yet today. We're just going to blame it on that.